You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, everybody out there in Patreon land. What's going on? This is Chris Swinney, the host of That One Time on Tour, and this is a bonus episode exclusive for our patrons. This is episode number 2. I hope that all you patrons are doing well. I appreciate the support. Jackie and Carl, you'll be receiving your prize packs very, very soon. So don't worry about that. Sorry for the delay. But this is our second bonus episode, and this comes from 2 years back on Facebook Live when I talked to my buddy, Sean Browning, aka Eddie Migraine. He was the leader and kind of mastermind of this punk band called The Migraines that signed to One Foot Records back in the day. And Eddie produced the first ever demo by my band Chronic Chaos. And Eddie took me on my first ever actual tour where I played bass for The Migraines. So we go really far back. We tell some tour stories. Some of the audio is kind of sketchy since it is Facebook Live, but I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy this. Spread the word. Tell your friends to sign up for Patreon. I'm going to make this more of a regular thing. We're going to have new episodes out exclusive for all of you patrons. And we're going to do a new contest starting in a couple weeks. So I hope you guys are well. And here it is, my conversation with Sean Browning, a.k.a. Eddie Migraine.
Hey, I'm on there now.
Hey, what's up?
Am I actually on your video?
Yeah, I can see you. I don't know if anybody else can. Okay.
So we need to talk about this story at the arcade.
Yeah, we do.
Hold on, I want to see. Can I do it this way? I don't want to. No, that doesn't work, does it? I'm like all sideways and stuff. Okay, hold on. And you got to tell me how you did that because somebody else did that.
I swiped over and it had your picture and I hit it and it invited you in.
Yeah. So that's kind of a new feature. There's a new feature where you can add somebody to your video. That's kind of fun. All right. So here's what happened. How many people are listening? 15 people. Okay. So here's what, this is like one of my favorite tour stories of all time. All right. So we're out on tour and we weren't too far from home, I don't think. Hey, was this the same tour that Tut got beat up in Chattanooga? Were you with us when that happened?
No, I dude, you're gonna. I don't know.
I know. Okay, this night I'll never forget because like Chris said, we were playing in an arcade, and we were
University of Tennessee. The gig.
Yes, in the gig. Knoxville. The gig. What's that?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
And the gig was actually inside an arcade. They did punk shows in this arcade. Part of our pay was, I don't know if it was pay, but like a gratuity, I guess, was we got tokens. So we got to play video games and all that kind of stuff.
Because that helps, I'm not a big that helps you fill your belly and get gas to play video games when you're on tour.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, you don't have a lot of money, but here, play some video games. But, and I'm not that big of a video game guy to begin with. So.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Yeah, so I was out calling my wife. Now, Tut was definitely into video games, but he was also way, way, way more into scoring alcohol.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
there was none to be found. I mean, we were in an arcade. This is not a bar. You can't get somebody to buy you drinks because there's no alcohols. It's all ages arcade. So Tut kind of disappears, not really disappears, but he's not inside the arcade. And I see him go outside and he's sitting on this picnic table. Yeah. So I look over and I see him. All right. So I go over and I get on the payphone. This is pre-cell phone days, if you can remember those days when nobody had a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right.
This is 99.
And so, yeah. And so I called my wife and I'm talking to her and I overhear Tut talking to a bum. I hope you guys are watching this story because this is the best tour story of all time. So I hear Tut talking to this bum and the bum looks at Tut and he goes, "I'm a blood and a crip." So I'm kind of laughing. I'm like, okay, that's pretty funny.
Both.
And he goes, "What's that?" Yeah, he's both. And he's got a trench coat. "I'm a blood and a crip." And he's got this trench coat on, right? And he points to one area of the trench coat. He goes, "I got a gun over here. I got a knife over here. I got a bomb over here." By this time, this guy has been sharing this bottle of something that looks like urine, motor oil, gasoline, blood, spit, tears of your victims, whatever it is, in a bottle. And he's sharing this with Tut. And it looked horrible. I can't believe Tut's drinking out of it. I swear there was stuff swimming around in the bottle. But there's what's that?
I can believe he was drinking it.
Yeah, of course.
Options were limited that night.
Right. So they're passing this bottle back and forth. And Tut had already scored some beer somewhere else earlier on. And Tut was pretty lit up by this point. And so this guy goes, "I got a gun over here. I got a knife over here. I got a bomb over here." And Tut goes, "Oh, yeah? Are you threatening me?" And he grabs the bum by his trench coat. I'm watching the whole thing. I told my wife, I go, "Hey, I got to call you back." And I hang up and I go running over there. By the time I got there, you and Jimmy were already there. They're pulling Tut up off of this bum. And they're pulling him up off the bum. And the bum stands up. And the first thing he goes like this, like dusting himself off, which is really funny because there's no getting the dirt off of the trench coat anyway. He's going like this, like, you know, like, "How dare you get me dirty?" And he's like wiping off the dirt of the trench coat. And he looks at Tut. Okay, I'm sorry, politically incorrect. And this was 1999. But the bum looks at Tut, little short black guy, right? Looks at Tut and he goes, "Man, you a nigga I can roll with."
"My bomb didn't even go off."
And then he goes, "My bomb didn't even go off." And then everybody's standing around, like the guys in the band, everything, just dying laughing. Next thing you know, Tut's like hugging the guy, and the guy became like his best friend in the world.
And he bought a Migraines vinyl at the end
he
of
did
the
what?
Night. He bought a record.
Oh, that's right. That's
money that he had. And you know he doesn't have a player. He doesn't have a place to live.
Right. And we were like, "How's that guy even going to listen to it?"
I think it was The Night Has Eyes. It was the Bobby Steele.
Yeah.
Like 7-inch is what he bought.
Right. That's exactly right. So, I don't know. That's like one of my favorite tour stories of all time. It was just the whole thing was just so insane. Just that whole night was just goofy and insane. Now, okay. So this wrecking your van. I don't remember wrecking your van.
There were girls that we'd stayed with somewhere, and they were like driving to the next show with us in their vehicle, and you were driving my van, and it was raining out, and they slammed on the brakes to stop at a red light, and you bumped them. It wasn't
wrecked,
but they were freaked out, and I think like their bumper fell off or something, but the van was fine.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, like you didn't mess the van up, but it was just like we were all kind of freaked out because they were scared and their car was
kind of messed.
I don't even remember where we were at or who they were.
No,
but they were going to the show like with us. We'd stayed at their condo or something, and like they were showing how to get to the venue, but they slammed on their brakes and you kind of rear-ended them.
I remember that.
And then there was the time on my birthday, 21st birthday, where I got so drunk at Fort Walton Beach that I went to sleep in the back of the van. And when I woke up, we were in Texas and it was 2 days later. Like, I did not wake up.
I drove 20 hours straight one time. This was a different tour.
That was it.
I drove 20 hours. What's that?
Well, that was probably what it was, because I had like a whole day that was missing.
Yeah, but I did one time where I drove 20 hours straight, started hallucinating, and the guy stopped me and said, "That's it, you're done. Get, you know, go lay down." And I climbed in the back of the van, and I woke up and we were in Texas. And I'm like, "Where are we at?" And they're like, "Oh, we're in where was it? It was what's the name of the town that has the Cadillac Ranch? It's that town, Amarillo.
Yeah,
in Amarillo, and." And I'm like, Amarillo, like, we had a show yesterday in Phoenix, or no, was it? I think it was Phoenix. No, hold on. No, not Phoenix. It was New Mexico, Albuquerque. I said, we had a show yesterday in Albuquerque. They're like, yeah, you played it. Huh? What? I played the show and don't remember playing it. I was that tired. You got to be really tired not to remember playing a show.
Well, dude, when I was playing with the Ataris back in 2009, we went to the UK and South Africa. And when we got back, we didn't have any time off. We like left the airport and went to a show. And I'm telling you, that whole week after we got back in the States, I don't remember talking to anybody. I don't remember how they were. Like, I was a zombie. Like, when you have that lag, or when you've been driving for 25 hours or whatever, it's insane, man.
Right. Yeah.
Or when it's your 21st birthday and you don't drink and you have like 18 shots and you go to sleep.
And I'm sure I'm partly to blame for that. I'm sorry about that. But
it was my birthday. Obviously, I had to do something, right?
Yeah. I'm obviously not that guy anymore, but a lot of funny stuff that happened. And I think, the other thing that was funny was just a great day was the whole day that we spent in Atlanta down at Little Five Points. And and then we were leaving. And that's where, remember that?
There was a bum that had a.
Yes, yes. That's right.
An Ivy jacket, a skull jacket.
Yeah, man. Remember him telling, like, man, the government stole my motorcycle and they stole my shoes. And I walked down here from Savannah. Like, wait a minute, you walked down there from Savannah with no shoes? Yeah, the government took everything, man. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Later on, you see that piece of cardboard over there? I'm going to get me a pen and make me a sign that says, hey.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we were in Little Five Points, the plan was you were looking for a wig to be Aussie. Do you remember that?
Probably.
There was something after we got back, some kind of Halloween show or something, where you were going to do like an Aussie song. We were looking for a wig because we went to a wig store in Little Five Points.
I'm not. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I have a tour diary. I read this like a week or two ago. And I
don't, oh my gosh.
I wrote it all out. For almost every tour, I've got like at least like literature from it. But I remember in Little Five Points, we were looking for a wig shop because you wanted an Aussie wig.
Yeah, I mean, we probably did. I was starting a Black Sabbath tribute band, so maybe I was looking for it about that time. I don't know.
I think that was what it was.
I did that for a while. That was fun. But that Little Five Points, the place that we played there, like right on the corner.
513 Club?
What was it called?
The 513 Club? Was that what it was?
I think so, but I know there's a.
I played there with Chronic Chaos too. About a year or two later.
Yeah, I do know that. You know, Tut was really into Ben Folds 5, and there was one of their albums has a live song that was recorded, like in that club during soundcheck. They're just screwing around, and it's like a rap song. It's just really dumb and horrible, but it's funny. And they recorded it during their soundcheck, and. I remember they talked about this guy, and he's doing this rap, and he says something about a sound man with a fanny pack and a ponytail. And we walked in, and this dude, big guy with a ponytail, was wearing a fanny pack. And Seth's like, that's got to be the guy. And so we walked up to him, we're like, hey, do you know the guys in Ben Folds 5? Dumb question to ask him. He goes, oh, yeah, they played here like about a year ago and recorded a song. We're like, yeah, that's you. And so Seth was all like, he was like starstruck by the sound guy. That's the guy from the song. But that was a fun gig. Not a lot of people showed up, but it was fun. It was just fun being there, I think.
Well, I mean, you let me go. That was my first real tour. Like, I don't know if you know that or not, but like, that was the first, like Chronic Chaos had gone and done stuff in Ohio and stuff like that. But that was the first time where it was like a real full on, not come home for like 4 or 5 weeks tour. Yeah. So like you helped me, man. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I miss those days of going out for weeks on end. I would love to do that again. Cause I mean, yeah. I just, back in those days, the migraines were, I mean, we were gone, you know, 6 months out of the year. And we didn't have anybody really back. And the record label at the time was really small and really bad. And
does one foot exist anymore?
I don't think so. They didn't really care about us. They cared more about the, kind of like the California skater punk type stuff, like the, you know, that kind of West Coast. Yeah, well, just like they had Millencolin on the label before Millencolin went on and it became big, but they had bands like that. And whereas our sound was more of a Midwest, maybe even East Coast punk rock thing.
Yeah.
And their thing was that West Coast punk rock thing. I mean, actually, like your band, like Chronic Chaos had, was really a really good blend of West Coast and East Coast punk, because you guys definitely understood Screeching Weasel, but you also understood No Effects. So it was really good. What's that?
Yeah, we when I listen to those records now, it's like, gee, did we have all the Fat Records bands like on rotation when we were writing albums?
Well, yeah, but you play what you're influenced by, you know. And yeah. I mean, obviously Sloppy Seconds, Vindictives, you know, for us, but those are obvious. But we're also, you know, Ramones, Misfits, and that kind of stuff found its way into what we were doing, but they just didn't care about it. So a lot of times when it came to promotion, you know, we would, you know, book these tours, hand in our tour schedule, and they're, oh yeah, we're gonna do all this promotion for you guys, and it just didn't happen. But what was weird though is like over the course of time though, we kind of developed this like kind of cult following, and it's weird. Even today, when Grave Robber goes out of town, people go, hey, are you the guy from the migraines? I still get that. I would have thought people would have forgotten about that a long time ago, honestly, because like I forgot a lot about it, a lot of stories. I mean, there's certain things I remember. But even songs, like we did the Migraines Reunion recently, and there were a bunch of songs that I had completely forgotten that I even wrote. You know, we were talking about doing songs, and the guys would throw out a certain song, and I'm like, I don't even remember that. You know? But we did eventually track down every single song that we've ever recorded, and there's a Bandcamp page that's got every migraine song, I think. Every migraine song ever recorded, I think, is on there. If I'm missing something, I'd be surprised if I'm missing anything. But
so Juvenile, kind of, all that stuff's on there.
There was a bunch of stuff we recorded about the time that, remember when Chronic Chaos came up and recorded in Columbia City?
Yeah,
that little studio my friend Dan had. We recorded some stuff there too that never really made it onto a record or anything. So we made this lost album. And put all that stuff onto one album. And Tut used to have this phrase, he would say, the worst we could do is fail. So that's what we called it. And so it's just like this lost album, but it's not really an album. It's a collection of things we recorded here and there and whatever. But I think it's everything we ever recorded. But I mean, somebody somewhere will probably look at that and go, no, I've got this track somewhere. The funny thing is, like, where I got the tracks was, do you remember, now I forget his name. Are you kidding me? Jeremy. Remember Jeremy from
Corpus Circus, Jeremy Isaacs.
Yeah. So he's on the East Coast now, and I'm like, man, I can't find all these tracks. And he's like, I've got all of them. I'm like, what? Like, how in the world do you have that? And so he had to send me.
Yeah, we're friends on Facebook. He's tattooing now, isn't he?
Yep. He was a great drummer. So I hope he's still doing music and all that too. So, but a lot of dudes that were doing punk rock when we were doing punk rock, you know, they're not doing it anymore, you know?
I want to get back into it. Like when I was living down in Alabama for the last, like I'm down on Gulf Shores for the last like 5 or 6 years. I was in a cover band. It was reggae. Our singer was from Jamaica. And we did some punk here and there, but I would really like to get something going again. Like do like a sort of like in the style of Hot Water Music or like some of the poppier like old punk stuff. That's what I'd like to do. I just trying to find the time. I'm getting ready to be a dad again next month. So it's kind of crazy.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, cool. man. I know you know all about that. You got some kids.
Yeah, I've got four. Yeah, Holly and I have four kids. I'm playing in a punk rock cover band that's a blast. And actually, our guitar player is Chris Goldback from Against All Authority. He moved up here to Fort Wayne. And he's a killer drummer, but he's equally a good guitar player. So he's playing guitar for that. And this other dude named Matt Smith, who works at Sweetwater, and then myself, and then one of my lifelong friends, Mike Deaton, on drums. And we're doing this like, it's just punk rock covers. It's all the classic stuff, you know, like Black Flag and Dead Kennedys and just all, you know, all the classic bands. And it's just a fun thing that we just get together and get our yayas out every once in a while. And still doing Grave Robber. And I started kind of like an East Coast style hardcore band called All the Departed. And then some stuff went down with our singer at the time, and he ended up going to jail. It was bad news. Yeah. And then we lost our drummer. And so that whole thing's just been kind of on indefinite hiatus. So, but you know, if the right dudes come along, you know, we'll pick it back up.
Well, maybe you and I, maybe we need to get together and figure something out.
Well, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Chris, he's a great dude, but he's like, I just can't do the cover band very much. You know, I mean, if that's something you'd be interested in, I could send you a set list, and, you know, it's just something for fun.
Send me a set list. I probably know half of them, you know.
You probably do, yeah. And there's no aspirations. And, you know, we're not making merchandise. We're not recording anything. We're not going to probably not even play out of town. So are you still down in Muncie?
Muncie area. Yeah. I'm in Grant County, which is like right north of Muncie. So yeah, it's not a bad drive. I mean, Fort Wayne, it's like 50 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But hey, my student just got here. We've got 10 people watching. Okay. So, but yeah, I will. I'll talk to you very soon to the three people.
Okay.
Watching. Bye. I'll see you later, man. Thanks for talking with me.
It was great talking to you. Take care.
I'll talk to you soon, man. Bye.
All right. Bye.
So there it was, my Facebook Live conversation with Sean Browning, a.k.a. Eddie Migraine. That was so long ago. It's insane to think back. That was like 98. Oh, man, it's such a long time ago. But this was episode number two, bonus content for the patrons. I hope you guys liked it. Much more of this to come. So tell your friends, tell your family, sign up over at patreon.com/TOTOT podcast. But if you're listening to this, you've already done that. There also is a new tier. We have one person that signed up so far. There's a producer tier. If you want to get more involved and help out and become a producer of the show and get a shout out and be included on the posts and all kinds of stuff, sign up for the producer tier. It is on the Patreon. But I'm going to get out of here, and I am going to play a Migraine song. This is called The Night Has Eyes, and it features ex-misfit Bobby Steele. So hope you guys enjoy this. This is Chris. I'm out of here. See you on the next episode. Peace. Tonight death awaits you.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.